Love Boat Cappy's here. What's going on, Cappy?
I don't know. Is there a Love Boat controversy?
There's a controversy. Let me close up the end of the story. So after all of my loving, infectious attempts to bring Greg and Sliwa into the soccer realm, of which they know nothing, they try to clown me out of the building like I'm some super nerd goofball, when all I was trying to do was show them something they didn't know anything about, but they were too intimidated, so they had to start throwing
shots. So there you have it. That's the case laid out by super nerd.
Yes, whatever. I don't know.
Professor
Super
Yates.
Professor Yates. Yes. Bergman, what was your experience?
The only thing that I have to say about it is that look how wildly his arm's flailing, getting so upset.
This is what I do every
Clinton
day of the
Yates
week.
All,
this, like, is what, this is how
the
I
most
make
amazing
my money.
Thing ever. I don't know what's
way,
going
Clinton
on right
is
now. This
a,
is so upsetting.
Clinton is a huge hand talker. And I'm a big hand talker, too.
Yes. Just imagine that. We're on the radio, though.
Alan's,
still, it helps.
But Sliwa and I were laughing and having a good time, and it was all very funny to us.
It was funny to me, too. Until you started acting like it was a reason why Sliwa baseball was better than soccer.
No, Michael just said Sliwa was laughing.
Sliwa doesn't laugh.
Sliwa was laughing. He was actually like bent over to his stomach laughing.
I've not seen Sliwa laugh.
Greg, admit it, though. You had not considered the fact that baseball fields are all a different size when you started dissing soccer fields for potentially being the same.
I never knew that about soccer.
Totally different.
Yeah. Well, how are they different?
Well, because there's reasons for baseball
fields.
What
are they? No, let's do this. What are the reasons?
Look, a baseball field in Colorado should have different dimensions than, let's say, San Diego or in New York or whatever it is.
Why?
Because of the air and how much higher up it is.
That's not why they have different sizes, though.
But it's also
it's like each place, it's like what
is
they can
its
fit.
Own unique
it's what
thing.
You can fit. What did I tell you at the park yesterday,
over.
Greg?
Yeah, you said what it can fit. But a soccer field is all the
same. Why would Fenway Park be one of the smallest places?
Exactly.
Or Yankee Stadium where they have the short porch.
Short
right
porch,
field.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I tried
There's
to open Greg's mind a little bit.
Yeah.
To no avail. But Sliwa gave me a ride back
to the station.
He tried to
open his mind, and nothing was there.
And he was just like, what are you, like...
I never knew that.
Make that joke.
I mean, soccer fields aren't the same.
No, there's a limit. Like they have to be a minimum size, but they can be bigger depending on.
Okay, let me get to Cappy here. Cappy, hey, Cappy, how you been, man?
I'm doing great, Momo. I really like that colorful top you're rocking today.
Oh, thanks
a lot.
Are you watching the stream or something?
Yes, that's right.
I forget that people are watching. Right. Like I think I was just eating a sandwich for half.
Well,
of it, you know?
When Ramona just said she was, like, we're just on radio. I was thinking to myself, I'm watching us on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube.
Oh, so you're the one
all at the same time. Yeah, that's right.
Hear us during commercial breaks when you're watching?
Not that I've seen, because I think we just turned on the stream.
Okay, good. Yeah. Do they hear? They don't hear anything, I'm told.
No.
Ramona, you were hilarious earlier today when you were talking about getting done at a Laker game at like 1:30 in the morning, driving home, and depending on how much you hate yourself, will determine which fast food place you stop at and what you get.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can feel you, sister.
Right?
Because I got to tell you, honestly, I don't ever go to Carl's Jr.
Right?
I'm not a Carl's Jr. person either.
Yeah, good fries.
Good fries?
Okay, so for me, I usually go home on the 101. And that's the one that's open. They're one over there by Universal City.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That one's open late.
It's a convenience
late.
Matter.
Okay. And then I definitely, the best option would really be that Fatburger that's open all night. Ooh, that 24/7 Fatburger. But I got to get out of the car.
Oh, that's right.
Magic
I'm
Johnson
not getting out of the car
Fatburger.
At 1 a.m.
He does.
You know? You guys see that? Anybody watching Legacy, or am I the only person who's seen
it? I have not. Tonight is the night I'm watching it.
I've watched the first two.
I watched one.
Are you into it, Cappy?
Yeah, I've seen episode one. I watched it last night. I really liked it.
What's your 1:30 a.m. go-to fast food?
Well, I was surprised to find out that Ramona says that In-N-Out would be closed.
Yeah.
I am, too.
Ten p.m.
Do they close at 10 p.m.?
They also have the line there. Like, that's definitely going to be a line late at night.
Right. Yeah.
I probably would go Jack in the Box before Carl's Jr.
Yeah,
I go... I mean, I'm old school. I like McDonald's.
McDonald's is great.
I love McDonald's. Man, I love me a Big Mac and the best fries there are.
It's hard to top Mickey D's.
Really? When was the last time you had a Big Mac?
3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. When before I started, you're not starting until after Labor Day. Right. I've already started cutting weight.
Really? September 6th is when I start. How much have you lost so far?
I went from 215 to 208.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm down 7.
Wow. How long's that taken?
That was 3 weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
3 weeks. Now, the goal is to weigh 195 for the Rams opener. Now,
sub
I don't
200.
Think I'm, yeah. Sub okay. I'll be happy with sub 200.
Okay. Right.
But if I get to 195, I win all the bets.
Oh, right.
All the mythical
that's
money
how
bets.
You cash. Yeah.
But that's a lot of weight to
You get to 195, will you have a six-pack?
of Heineken.
Are we going to have...
Like,
you
mean on his abdomen?
Stop
or?
Eating
visual evidence.
That makes you
have
fatter.
Visual evidence? You're going to like take a video
Bring a
of
scale.
Yourself? Okay.
Bring a scale.
Yeah. Stop eating dinner in bed, mate, because after dinner, if you ate at a table, at least you have to get up and walk.
That's true. That's
but
true.
In yeah. bed, you just lay
so
there.
So much more convenient to eat
crumbs.
In bed. Yeah. So, Cappy, what's the love... I don't know what the love boat
well,
controversy
well, I heard the other day... So, no, yeah, some, there's an issue where apparently, Mace, you demanded that the love boat be taken out of the open, and that and Bergman said it's really not a Kaplan Sedano deal. It's a it's a super crosstalk deal.
Yeah,
and so I think Bergman aired you out is essentially what happened.
So
I
Bergman,
didn't know such thing.
I told you keep this low key.
If you if you actually listen and you watch the open that Chris put, said Greg called me and said, "Can you take it out?" Mm-hmm. And then that was it. It didn't say anything about you.
So Cap,
you outed yourself.
I love boat. I'm
no, you
a
don't.
Huge...
No, you don't.
Don't say that. I love the love boat. No, you when don't. You yell love boat,
love boat,
love boat, love boat. Love boat. No, I love it.
Who are you, Captain Stubing?
But here's the thing, Cappy.
Yeah.
During the open for Mason in Ireland, I don't know why we'd have a Sedano and Cappy clip bits. As opposed to a Mason in Ireland bit.
I would say that my answer, if I were to try and formulate one for you on the spot, Mace, would be that it used to be back in the old days, this is our 3 hours of territory, this is the next 3 hours of territory.
Sure.
I feel like the 9 hours that we have between Travis and Slee, Mason in Ireland, and Sedano and Cap, I feel like it's become one nine-hour show.
It is one big show. I completely agree with you. It is one big show.
Yeah. All right, I got to get out of here.
Okay.
But I'll leave you with this joke, courtesy of Jorge.
Yesterday was National Joke Day, by the way.
Yeah. I went to the beekeeper to get 12 bees. He counted and he gave me 13. He says, sir, you gave me an extra here. You made a mistake. He said, you can keep it. That's a freebie.
Oh, goodbye.
Wow.
And what? Michael Thompson.
Out.
Hasta la
vista. Look how happy he is, too.
He's so excited about that joke.
Look at how happy he is with that joke. Look at the smile on his face.
Jorge said it to me. Jorge,
he's so excited.
Look at him. He loves it.
All right, so Cappy, this controversy.
Yes,
do you really think it's a controversy?
No, I don't think it's a controversy at all.
It's pretty good.
I think that you should, this is just my own opinion.
Yep.
Take it for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like it if you'd keep it in.
Okay, we'll do it.
It's meaningful
to you. Look, I have, it's not like a strong... I just said, are you going to use one of our drops in your opens?
And I think that somebody said, yeah, we use drops from your show all the
it
time.
It is true you use drops from our show. That's true.
No, not really.
No, not really. It's a huge drop.
It's
Everybody
one of my faves.
Yeah, no, not really is a top five drop at the station,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, all right, leave the love boat in.
Thank you, Mace.
Bergman, leave the love boat thing
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Mace.
I'll even do it. Love boat.
Love, love boat.
Love boat. Hey, Mace.
Yes.
You know what? You could actually just sub in your love boat for his.
Oh, that's a great idea.
There we go. All right. Everybody.
Quiet for 1 minute. Okay. Everybody quiet for a minute. Love boat.
Terrible.
No, that wasn't as good.
Terrible.
You gotta do it right.
Terrible.
Love boat.
No, there, that was the better. Same thing. No, that was the same thing
better.
As the last
one. No,
we're
better. It's there.
Really get into it.
Love boat. You gotta get a little more on the ascension.
Okay.
Nah, sounds good.
I mean, you gave me a line reading. I did exactly that way.
But you're not
exactly.
saying Kathy, the
you
L
do it
or the B.
No, here. Listen to me, Bergman and Briones, the way we work together as a team. Listen to this. Take a listen to this. Okay, here it goes.
Love.
Oh, they harmonized
that
and everything.
Good.
But so what am I doing wrong?
You're saying,
Wait, you know what I think you got to do? You got to harmonize with
you
Greg.
You
got to
say the actual
Jorge.
Word.
Yeah, you have to actually say love boat.
All right, let me try it again. Love boat.
Oh, I think
that was good.
Good.
That was a good
better.
One.
You know, what he really needs?
Are we done?
No, yeah, you know what done. He needs though, Jorge. You know what Mason really needs?
What?
He needs the actual love boat theme to embody. There you go.
The thing
come
is,
on,
the
Mason.
Bit is well beyond what the song actually sounds like.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying.
It's like, right, but here it comes.
It's transcended the actual song. Yeah, right.
Right. That's where you have to get it.
All right. So from now on, Cappy, you will be in our open. I promise. I agree with you. It's like one 9 hour show.
Mace, I got to hear about your experience last Friday. Unfortunately, we didn't connect.
I know.
You and Juan were at the Del Mar racetrack.
And you picked up the tab, which was very nice.
My absolute pleasure.
Wow.
My absolute pleasure. You come to my place, I take care of
you. He set us up at a fancy table with all the high rollers and people. I'm going to claim that horse, and I'm like with that crowd.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Cappy being nice when people are invited to his place. Unlike Gregory, who when people show up to watch games with him, decides he wants to diss them for trying to tell them stuff about the game
that
they don't know.
All I know, Clint, is that I got asked to go to that game and you didn't.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Showed up anyway. How about that?
Was real.
So, Cappy, I hit two superfectas when I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me how much the ticket cost. Tell me how much you won.
Okay, so I was boxing four both times. And nailed him in order. One time I hit for 200 plus, and one time I hit for like 175.
Wow.
So I was happy with those superfectas. I ended up losing $40 on the day, but the track is a fun place to go and hang out.
I have a question for you,
with
Mace.
House money.
Yes.
I have a question for you, Mace. What is your physical countenance when you see your horse win? Do you jump up and say, hey, look at me, I'm the winner? Like, what did you do? How into the actual race were you whilst observing it with your eyeballs?
So here's what I would do. I would buy tickets and not show them to Juan.
Oh, okay.
So when they came across in the right way, I would have no reaction at all, and then I put the ticket out there. And say, superfecta.
Nice.
Superfecta. Nice. He had no idea what was coming. No idea.
Superfecta.
So I was like
word.
Super down, super right. low key about it.
You kind of deked him. As
I
they
deked
say.
Him. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Did they get excited for you?
Who, the horses?
No, like when you cash the ticket and stuff.
You know, I went to the same teller every time. I'm really happy
I'm
that they still have
like
human beings
doing
that. A lot of people use machines, but they still have people there. And I definitely had a lucky teller named Stu.
Stu.
You went to see Stu. He's next to Craig.
Vegas,
I go to Craig.
You go to Craig. Okay.
When you cash in your chips in Vegas, they still have like real people do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But apparently the etiquette is that if you win a lot, you're kind of supposed to tip those people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
For sure.
That's true.
I mean, if you win big. Not if you win a couple hundred bucks, that's one thing. But.
Not your superfectas for $250. I mean, but if you hit like something for a couple grand, you're supposed to tip the teller.
What's your biggest win ever?
I once was part of a group that won a pick six. So for anybody that doesn't know what that is, you have to pick six races in a row, the winner six in a row. And you have to hope along the way that maybe somebody with a long shot comes in, and it costs a lot of money to build one of those tickets. That's why you do it as a team. And I think one time we all won like a grand total of about 25 grand, of which I think I got like 1,500 bucks. But still, you hold $1,500 of cash in your hand that you won at a racetrack, you're like, hell yeah, this feels good.
You know, by the way, the biggest win I ever had was on our own horse.
Oh.
Went off at 9-1. I just took all my money.
Cool.
I was late. I took all my money out of my pockets to put it on number eight, and bam.
Wow. Yeah, so $20 to win.
So exciting. I'll tell you a story. This could be apocryphal, but Tom Snyder told me this story once, and he said one night he went to the track. He went to Belmont, and won big, and had like $20,000 in his pocket.
Oof.
Gets to his apartment in New York. Guy tries to hold him up.
Mm.
Stick up. And Tom, according to him, says, kid, it's your lucky night. I've got $20,000 in my pocket. I'll give you half of it, and I won't press any charges.
Wow.
So he gave him half the money. Instead of losing all $20,000.
Right. Or dealing with some dude with a gun or whatever.
Right. He made a deal. And he kept $10,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
The guy with the gun just accepted that?
Accepted 10 grand.
What kind of leverage do you have in that moment?
I'm not going to go to the police.
Yeah, it's a free 10K.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sticking people up outside of a horse track. But
exactly.
You know, that's hard to do if
exactly.
people are watching.
Why weren't you there last night?
Why wasn't I wearing last
night?
At
the LAFC with all of us.
Mostly because the last 2 days, and every parent out there will appreciate what I'm about to tell them, is I have been dealing with getting kids off to college and getting a kid back into high school. And so one, two, three went off to college, and the second one started high school yesterday. So it's been, besides just the coordination issue, I mean, Mace, I'm a very emotional guy, man.
Did you cry when your kids left for college?
I tried not to. You know, I was like whimpering. I was wearing sunglasses.
Whimpering.
You know?
What's wrong? We don't cry in the Kaplan household?
No,
we do. Okay.
We do cry.
My mom cried so much when I went to college.
Really?
But my daughter
so much it was ridiculous.
It embarrassed you?
Yeah, because I was the oldest and I was the first to leave and she just fell apart.
I'm definitely gonna cry. I would just cry and just think about it.
Right. You got 17 years. 17 years, Mama.
Not even in
kindergarten. Where are your kids going to school, Cappy?
I got three away now. Three out of four in college. Mace, you'll love this. Wheeling, West Virginia, West Liberty University. That's where my son plays football. He plays D2 football.
Yep.
My 20-year-old daughter is a junior at Boise State. She drove yesterday, 14 straight hours.
Here comes the big one.
Drove to Boise
State. Here comes the big one.
And here, yeah, the big one is freshman going into Tulane University.
Whoa!
Yeah, fancy.
NOLA. That is a party
school. That is party time.
I know multiple humans who went to Tulane, and they had the time of their lives in college. Yeah.
And it's so funny you say that, Clinton, because last night she's sending me videos from this bar on campus called The Boot. And her and her friends are lit. And I'm like, yo, I mean, first of all, you don't need to send me these videos. I have Life 360 or whatever it's called now. You know, does everybody use that?
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
You guys don't know what that is? No. It's like an app that you use to keep track of everybody in your family.
Oh, what are you tracking your family?
Oh, totally.
I mean, his girlfriend tracks him.
So I forgot.
Not,
yeah, you guys track each other.
Me
because there's a general lack of trust.
Right, right. And so she was texting me videos last night. Look, Dad, we're having so much fun. I'm like, yeah, like we sent you there to go to school. So maybe tone it down just a little bit or just don't even tell me.
I'll tell you who got unlucky.
Who that?
The kid in Wheeling, West Virginia. I mean, I know. Right. Look, I've spent some time in West Virginia.
Yeah.
That is not my favorite place to be.
No. And Mace, he was at Saddleback College in Mission Viejo and took the football scholarship to the D2 school. And I'm like, well, it's only 45 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. There's some civilization.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. You can get away to somewhere where people actually are.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm back tomorrow at 1. I have no idea who my guest host is going to be because we're spinning
like
the
Beto?
Wheel of hosts. I thought I had a great time with Beto. He was great. He was great at the LAFC game last night.
Shout out to Beto who got me into the LAFC game last night. No thanks to Gregory Bergman.
Beto was giving me all kinds of behind-the-scenes career advice, too.
He was a
lot smarter
Beto,
on the social media world than
I am. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
The social media world.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's working it hard.
I'm not so good at that.
And coming up next for you is Professor Clinton Yates.
Thank you.
Doctorate in soccer.
Thank you.
And baseball rundowns.
Baseball. That too. Don't get me started on that. We talked about that yesterday.
And the great Scott Kaplan. Love it. Have a great time, guys. That's coming up next for you. Shadano's out today, but it's Cappy and Clinton. See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, come on. Bang, ba da boom.
Bee, ba da boo. I still hear you, Greg. Dee, da da doo. I'm coming after you. Dee, da da doo. I didn't forget you, Sliwa. Da 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 da. Bee, ba da boo.
What's up, Cappy?
CY, what have I missed over the last 2 days?
You missed quite a bit, sir. I will start with yesterday. For those of you who did not catch Crosstalk, Momo and I came in here to sit down and, you know, do the program and entertain the masses, and everybody's huddled up in the other room. Everybody's got their black and gold on. They're chirping about how they're going to the game, figuring out their different routes to the stadium. And I'm sitting there looking like, are you serious? All of you all are going to a soccer game? Half of you can't even spell the word striker, and I'm not even invited, which is fine. It was a Jacob and Ronnie Mace thing. I get it. Beto, being the great guy that he is, texts me. He's like, I'll get you a ticket. Then we'll come in. Nobody said anything, though, until I showed up. And then when I showed up, everybody's like, oh, the big CY. And by everybody, I mean the listeners. Ooh. We're happy to see your boy. Ooh. And then Greg and Sliwa decided they want to start making fun of me because I was trying to tell him some fun stuff about soccer, and I tried to educate him on the fact that not all soccer fields are the same size, which apparently was a mind-boggling concept to some of the people in the booth because that's just what it is, just like baseball. So there was a lot that went on, but Sliwa gave me a ride back to the station, so he's back in my good graces. Bergman, on the other hand, is still on thin ice.
Okay, but why was Sliwa there if what you're saying is this was a whole Jacob and Ronnie, Mason and Ireland deal?
Don't ask me. Beto was there. Sliwa was there. All sorts of people were there. But somehow my invite got lost in the non-mail.
And ours.
Nobody even said to you, hey, I don't know if you're available or not, and it's probably, last second, but would you like to go tonight?
No, not until I got on the air and said something, and Beto, once again, the very generous Beto Duran, made sure he figured it out and hooked it up. So we were all in the suite afterwards.
So Beto was or was not planning on going?
He did go. Yes.
No, but was he planning on going in advance of hearing that you were uninvited?
As far as I know, yes. He was part of the group that was going.
Oh, my God. Why would everybody leave Clinton out?
It's okay. It's okay. I went, and for my infectious love of group activities, I was made fun of for it. But it's all right.
Wait, okay. They made fun of you for showing up to this event?
No, they made fun of me because I was being goofy about silly stuff and soccer slang that they didn't care about at all. And I was trying to show them a couple things, but no. No, no, no. They were just there to talk about what they did not know about soccer, which is fine. But I figured World Cup is coming up. LAFC is a pretty good team. Maybe we can all sort of come into, for lack of a better term, the circle of trust and actually try to educate ourselves on the sport we're looking at instead of just making fun of the people that are in the crowd and that are interested. But that's just me.
Clinton, when you showed up, did anybody say to you, what are you doing here?
No. In fact, more than one listener was like, hey, the big CY, how you doing? Let's get a picture, which is what happens every time we show up to station events because our listeners are great.
Really?
Yes.
And did anybody ask if they could get honorary membership in the Handsome Man community?
No, there were no requests for honorary members. That was actually kind of refreshing, but I think everybody sort of understands that there's a time and a place for that. You got to show up either at the Mandy's or at a big function. It's not necessarily just a one-off here and there at a game. So everybody, I met, I have their names on Instagram, but there were probably 5 or 6 listeners there who were pretty cool. Me and one of them, whose name I believe was Jimmy, we were wearing the same T-shirt, and we took a picture.
Now,
that was cool.
Now, so let me just get this straight. Everybody was mean to you.
No.
And Greg they made
and
fun.
And Sliwa were having a great time at my expense.
Okay.
And so as a result, Sliwa felt guilty, so he gave me a ride back to the station.
Uh-huh.
Greg was like, screw you, bro, I'm out. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. When I heard, everybody was giving you a hard time because, A, they say you were not invited and you showed up, and, B, everybody's saying that you were begging for an invite. Now, I want you to know, Clinton.
Yes.
This all seems very far-fetched to me, but these have been the preliminary reports.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't begging. I was upset that I was not invited. And then Beto did. He came through, as we like to say. Travis was there as well, by the way, and he was a great time. Very nice, very kind, very, very understanding of things about soccer that he doesn't know. And instead of saying, oh, well, that sounds ridiculous, he was like, oh, how about that? Good to know.
See, thanks, now that you're mentioning it, though, Travis is there, Sliwa is there, Mason is there, you wind up going, Beto goes.
Yeah, of course, Janice was there doing a great job, what I'm saying?
Now I'm starting to think to myself, well, how come I wasn't invited?
Again, that's not up to me. I'm just saying. By the way, I might be yelling and screaming about this stupid interaction that we all had, but it was genuinely a very good time. It was one of those where all the listeners who were there were really appreciative. Of course, Jacob has a nice suite set up, and everything was there, food, drink, and everybody was having a good time, and his ads are on the big screen, and he's explaining to us, sort of how he does business, and it was a really cool time. I was really glad to meet him, quite frankly. That was the highlight of the night, meeting Jacob and Ronnie and his brother, so that was really cool.
When you went, was it just you and Beto at this point, kind of like a mandate, or was the concierge
no.
there?
The concierge was not there, but I will say this. One of the most important things that happened yesterday was that Briones and I were going to go together, but we got separated after the show. Briones hit me with the crucial factor about LAFC games that seems obvious, but I did not take it into account. If you're coming from downtown, bro, just take the train. It's easily the smartest way to get to and from the stadium because the traffic situation, the Uber scenario is just too much of a hassle. Took the train, 15 minutes, bang, walked in, left immediately after the show here, 7 o'clock, got to the stadium and inside the yard during the national anthem because the show started at 7:30. That's with a train ride and a walk and a ticket gate. Pretty incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so do you feel like, there's resolution now?
I've gotten it off my chest. Yes, we can move along with the show. But I just wanted everybody to know what happened on that day. Because Mace said, I'm a pretty earnest person, which is a very desirable quality. Outside of, obviously, the handsome face and the beautiful voice, never mind the staggering wit. I'm joking. But, yeah, so I was being earnest. And
you didn't even go into your wardrobe there.
No, I don't need to do that. That's a given.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, right. We know that part. But anyway, everything is fine. But last night was fun, ultimately. And
Like I said, I got to have a ride with Sliwa, so that's always a good time.
That is good. Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Well, the big CY is in the house. Now, check this out, Clinton Yates. I'm told there are reports that tomorrow George Sedano will return to the airwaves.
Really?
And that George Sedano and I will be together again with Lindsay Baseball, a.k.a. Double H, and the Queen, Laura, at Unique. I am told that the entire Mishbucha is back in L.A. Live in the ESPN L.A. studios tomorrow. I didn't even know Sedano still worked at 7:10.
Listen, I am not familiar with everybody's schedule. I will not be here tomorrow. I'm headed to Williamsport, Pennsylvania tomorrow to cover Little League Baseball. But I'm very glad to hear that everybody is here. Matter of fact, I'll say this. My flight isn't until late night. I'm doing a red eye. I might pop in. If everybody's here, I'll pop in. Unless I'm not invited, Greg, who I'm looking at across the glass right now.
Damn. Wow. Shots fired.
Wow. And you realize that tomorrow is also going to be, it's going to be hashtag lit tomorrow, because tomorrow is also a live imaging Thursday.
Ooh. What? Okay, so we could, that's transferable? LIT is transferable to Thursdays?
Only to live imaging Thursday.
Got
it could
it,
be
yeah.
live imaging Tuesday, could be live imaging Thursday.
I think
can't
just
be
for our show, though.
Yeah, well, it's really in honor of Sedano coming back.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, but if I come back, if I come in tomorrow and everybody's here, I'm not talking to Greg. That's out.
Okay, I understand. I do. And I think when he said to you, really? Like, all soccer fields are not the same? They're not regulation? Pfft, what other sport would do that? Because you're thinking football, hockey.
He's in a box. He's thinking rectangles.
But he didn't think baseball and the shape and dimensions of all baseball fields being different.
And when I said that, Sliwa looks at him and looks at me and goes, oh, Yates has a pretty good point. And Sliwa kind of backed out at that point. Greg, don't front. He's right there. Greg,
don't be front.
You can change what actually happened as much as you'd like,
oh, okay.
But that's fine.
This is no longer
my show, though, Clinton. You don't need to talk about me.
Wait, wait a second. Hold on. But now, wait. If you're fronting, don't front, dude.
I'm not fronting. That's
not
exactly
you.
What happened.
Greg, Bergie, are you fronting?
How am I fronting? I told you exactly what I thought and what I said.
He can't even keep a straight face because he knows he was stumped when I brought up baseball.
I was not stumped when you brought up baseball. It was just I didn't realize that a soccer field had different dimensions.
Air pressure.
And I didn't realize that hockey rinks had different dimensions either. I thought they would all be basically the same.
The Olympic rinks are bigger. Sheets.
Well, okay. Olympic, I knew. Not. I'm talking about regular ones, just like in soccer.
Yeah.
Soccer. I would assume that every MLS field would be the same field because there's no advantage or disadvantage for having a bigger or smaller field.
Just like
haven't you ever noticed, Greg, though, like when you watch an NFL game, that the goalposts that are set up for the Rams are different than the goalposts that are set up for, like, the Ravens, for example. Have you ever noticed
that? Color-wise?
No. I mean, like, the distance between the posts.
There's no way that's right.
No, that's true.
100%. Is it really? Is it different?
No, it's not.
I didn't think so, because that would be ridiculous. Why would they do that?
This is going to be the new thing, just trying to convince Greg that totally non-true things are real in sports that are not.
There was no way that was going to be a thing.
That's funny.
All right, look, we're officially underway here on a Wednesday afternoon, and a lot to get to, because in a summer where there's been a lot of goofing around, today there are like major real stories. We will start with LeBron. That is obviously the thing that is on everybody's mind. We'll get to LeBron. We'll get to the NBA schedule announcement. We got a lot we want to get to just to get rolling. All right, I want to tell everybody something. We are on the radio throughout all of Los Angeles, but we are on worldwide streaming. I'll explain all of that coming right back. The big CY is in for Sedano. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
The community's out here talking all sorts of trash.
Tell me.
At Clinton Yates, I think Venice Mace means obnoxious when he says you're earnest. Nailed it, buddy. It's both. Another guy says, look at Yates out here begging for attention. What do you think we're doing on the radio here, buddy? We're trying to entertain people. Come on.
No, we're begging for attention.
That's exactly what the whole deal is. And somebody else said, send me an emoji with the chill pill. Bro, come on. Do you know who I am? That's not how I do. So,
oh, hell to the
end. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and, you know, adding to the community. At Clinton Yates with such the hissy fit right now. I love it. So I appreciate everybody who's listening and who's added to the broadcast via Twitter.
Hey, I want to just tell everybody something really quick. You know, I tried to explain this to this LA Times writer last week that told you guys that you all don't listen to the radio.
Yeah.
I tried to explain this to this guy. You see, today, we're on the radio all over LA, okay? On one of the most powerful sports radio stations on the entire planet,
correct.
Okay? But by the same token, you might be watching live video on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or Twitch.
Yeah.
If you're a newspaper reporter, do you know what those platforms are? All I'm saying to you is that everybody listening on radio, man, it is great to have you guys. But everybody who's watching on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, it's great to have you guys too. Can't wait for Sedano to get back tomorrow.
Absolutely. Should be a glorious return of the King. Very much looking forward to it. He's actually hanging out at the college football thing because I know a couple of people who are at that too. So it's good to see some friends from other places connecting. So Georgia's having a good time.
All right, Clinton Yates, let's jump right in here.
Sure.
LeBron James today makes it official. He is staying with the Lakers. I'm not so sure that shocked anybody.
Right.
But it's at least a good piece of news to say, okay, LeBron's in. Who else? What happens from here?
I think that point you just made today is the main thing that Lakers fans are going to be able to take from this, just to build on. We don't have to jump forward into everything, and I know what you're asking me, but here's how I'll explain it. At the very least, you can say, all right, that is one question that is off the table. Because, listen, let's not forget about how tumultuous this past offseason has been. Didn't know what was going to happen with, you know, Russell Westbrook is still sort of a question mark in some people's minds in terms of what he's going to be to this team. All sorts of discussions about whether or not Kyrie was going to come and who was going to move in and who was going to move out. At the very least, LeBron being here gives you some measure of stability that is important in moving forward. What happens next, Scott? I don't know the answer to that because, quite frankly, this is one of those situations where if y'all don't know what you're doing, then how am I supposed to know what you're doing kind of thing? But at the very least, LeBron is there, which I think is a good building block and allows them to at least have some sort of idea on not just what happens while LeBron's contract plays out, but frankly, the post-LeBron era as well.
Yeah, I just feel like I knew he was going to sign,
yeah.
Not because I knew it, because I had anybody telling me that. I just made an assumption. I mean, you've come to the Lakers, you've won a championship, you've put your brand and their brand together like peanut butter and jelly, okay?
Exactly.
Or maybe like peanut butter and chocolate. You know, you make a nice Reese's peanut butter.
Maybe it's like crunchy peanut butter. Some people like that, some people don't. Like a lot of Laker fans don't necessarily love that LeBron is, you know, sort of taking over the Laker identity in many ways. But yes, they definitely go together and they've melded well enough to get at least one ring, even if it wasn't the bubble.
Right, but now that LeBron is actually signed, sealed, and delivered, and most importantly, committed, my brain, this is the way it works, jumped immediately to, why did it take a couple of weeks? You know, he could have done this on the very first day, like, hey, LeBron, you're eligible for this max deal, $97 million, 2 years. And most people who aren't billionaires would be like, where do I sign that? I'll sign that right now.
Right.
But why did LeBron wait? And my first thought was, well, he must feel comfortable now that they're going to do what he's telling them to do.
There's that, but I also think it's a general timeline thing, Scott. I mean, how many NBA transactions have we seen in the past 2 weeks in general? You know what I mean? Like the Knicks are looking for Donovan Mitchell and they just kind of stopped talking for a couple of weeks and now they're back on. I think there's just kind of a break. I mean, listen, we've had news in terms of tweets. We've had news in terms of reports, but nothing's actually happened. I think that was just kind of a natural sort of summer break. But it does beg the question of whether or not, you know, you think that there is more to come. And I don't know what it is to come because it's not like the Lakers have a bunch of movable parts necessarily, but at the very least, you still got LeBron to bank on, which is a big deal if you're the Lakers, by my.
But I just feel like it was so obvious that he was going to sign.
Yeah, well,
you know, he's moved here. His family likes living here by all accounts. All of his people, everybody in his ecosystem has come to L.A.
Right.
His business interests all center out of Los Angeles. And so for him to leave and go to another market and uproot potentially his family, blah, blah, all these other things. I mean, it was very obvious he was going to sign. My question was, why did it take so long? Not that it took months.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's done now, it just makes me think either A, LeBron is satisfied. He thinks Darvin Ham is going to be able to coach Russell Westbrook and that Westbrook is going to play the kind of ball that these guys want to play. Or maybe he thinks, oh, okay, great. They're going to go make the transactions that I'm telling them they need. By the way, I'm not asking. I'm telling. You guys got to go get me this and this and this, which would be presumably Kyrie. But I'm willing to sign now because I feel comfortable that everything's going to go the way I want it.
I'm not reading that much into it. I understand your logic. I do think there's as much of a timing element as everything. Let's not forget, he didn't have to do this. It's not like he wasn't coming back to the team next year. He was under contract for next year. This is more than that. So I think there's a little bit of that where it's like, all right, I'll go on my planned vacation, and then when I get back, we'll get back to business kind of thing. I feel like there's a little bit more of that because, quite frankly, Scott, none of these questions that you seem to think LeBron has figured out have been answered as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? I have no reason to believe that Russell Westbrook is still going to work out. How am I supposed to know that? You know, they haven't practiced. It's not like Darvin Ham's come out and said anything. The only thing we've gotten from Lakerland in the last 3 days or last 4 days or 5 days is documentary news. You know what I mean? So yeah. This could just be a matter of timing, I think, and we still have a lot to see in terms of how it shakes out from a roster standpoint, even though that news that they want to run the offense through AD is something that we heard about earlier this week.
Yeah, I want the offense to run through AD too.
Yeah, but AD's got to be on the court.
That's my whole issue. Like, just make sure this dude is on the floor. That's right. All.
Right.
Now, you mentioned documentary news.
Yeah.
So I actually did it last night.
I think
Laura and Double H are going to be very proud of me. Guys, I found out that I, A, have Hulu.
Uh-oh.
And
nice.
B, thanks to voice activation, which I now know how to use, I'm able to say things like Hulu Lakers. And then Hulu actually shows up on the TV monitor. And then here comes Legacy, this new Laker documentary. So, Clinton, while I know you probably don't think this is like a really big deal that I'm capable of knowing I have Hulu.
I know that you are like one of the main characters in those commercials where the guy's like, are you turning into your parents? And the people can't figure out how to do anything.
Live, laugh, love, no signs.
Yeah, people can't figure out how to do anything in their own houses.
Right.
I am familiar with your lack of prowess technologically.
Yeah.
So this is a revelation, huh, Cap?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty proud of myself, actually.
Voice activation is actually quite cool.
Yeah. The only problem with it is I was playing with the TV, and I was trying to figure out how to use voice activation, and somehow what I turned on was every time I turned the channel 55, there's like this lady's voice that comes on, channel 56, or if I turn up the volume 57, volume 32.
So she's talking back to you, and you don't like that.
I can't figure out how to shut her up. I can't figure out how to turn it off.
Another woman.
For real.
That's the last thing you need in your house.
I got a girlfriend, an ex-wife. I got 3 daughters. I got 2 producers. I don't need another lady in my life.
You should tell her that. Just be like, I don't want to hear you. There's got to be some kind of command.
Just
you know?
Start openly complaining to your television.
That's funny. Just say, stop saying that.
There should be something that's like, Alexa, tell her to stop, please.
Exactly.
I love it.
It's got to be.
I love it. So what did you think? I mean, you watched how much? Did you watch the first two? There's only 2 out, right?
My understanding is that they put out the first 2, and then it's like a weekly deal.
I watched the first.
You watched the first one?
I watched the both episodes that were available to watch.
Okay, I've only watched the very first one.
Okay.
So I will just say this. I think it's very entertaining. I'm 1 hour in.
Right.
I know a lot of people like to rip things immediately, and they're like, oh, well, this is just the Lakers doing some big PR job. Well, yeah, they produced a documentary about their franchise. What did you expect it to be?
Right. Did you?
But I liked it.
Did you watch the Magic documentary on Apple TV?
Only episode 1.
Okay.
Because I thought that I paid for Apple TV and then thought that I couldn't use the Apple TV because I couldn't get my password. But then I have found out subsequently that I actually don't pay for Apple TV because Sedano showed me where on my phone I can go to find out what I subscribe to.
Okay, so that was a non-starter, basically. There was no way you were going to find
it. No, I saw episode 1. Okay. Only episode 1 of Magic.
Okay, I'm only asking for comparative purposes because they are all what my analysis was, and Momo and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and she dropped the very cool deal that she's actually in it, or she sat for it at least, so she'll probably show up later down the line, so that's good to hear. They are, at this point, 3 almost entirely different products, I think, for 3 entirely different group of people. And I'm not necessarily sure which one is which in many ways, but for me, Winning Time was kind of for everybody, whether you were a basketball fan or not. The Magic documentary, I said this yesterday, and I still believe this, it kind of felt like, for me as a black basketball fan, it felt more like kind of a looking through an old family photo album. That was the vibe I got from that in terms of people I knew of a certain age and what their lives were like. Whilst this one, Laker Legacy, it almost feels like a freshman year 101 class to the history of the franchise that is chock full of information and all sorts of stuff that if you aren't paying attention to every single step, you might miss something.
Well, I'm going to say this. I was quite surprised to see the way Dr. Jerry Buss was depicted. Because if this was going to be just one big positivity piece, I felt like the Lakers chose to portray Dr. Buss in a way that I might not have. But I'll tell you exactly what part of it kind of creeped me out a little bit. Although for me, when I say creep me out, I mean I kind of liked it.
No, I get it, but there were some parts where I thought I didn't. It was a little weird. I said this yesterday. It was a little cringy to hear them talk about it. Like, oh yeah, that was old Dr. Buss. I'm like, that doesn't sound as good in 2022 as it might have, maybe even 5 years ago, in terms of just kind of accepting that this is kind of how he lived his life.
Right.
That one clip with Brokaw and Jane Pauley was really quite interesting overall, yeah.
Oh, no. But there's one part of it that everybody thinks is super hyper, hella creepy. Lori, did you hear the way I used hella?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Mm.
Right?
Okay. Mm. What was your point?
I'm going to tell you about that when we come right back, but nice. I want to just tell everybody, hey, guys, if you have a fantasy football league that's looking for a place to host your live draft, join. You ready for this, Clinton? This is how we now are phrased. The Mandy Award-winning crew of Sedano and Cap at Hollywood Park Casino on Friday, August 26th, that is. It's our fantasy football draft party hosted by the entire Mishbucha. Here's what you do. Listen to the entire show for the cue to call, and you can win a table in our fantasy football draft party for you and seven of your friends. Everybody's got to be over 21. Plus a chance to win all kinds of really cool Rams autograph prizes and more. And if you're not a winner, don't worry about it. You can still press the flesh with all of us because we'll be broadcasting from 4 to 7 on Friday, August 26th, Hollywood Park Casino. Eat, drink, draft, and keep on listening to the show today for your opportunity to win. What was the creepiest part of episode 1 of this Laker doc? We'll get there. Coming right back on Sedano and Cap. Laura, what's the inspiration?
Well, I was really looking for the other ABBA song.
Oh, this is an ABBA song.
But
okay.
It's an ABBA song, so okay. I figured, you know, ABBA.
All right.
Because Clinton, ABBA came out with the first compact disc ever today in 1982.
How about that?
No way, really?
Yep.
CDs have been around since 82?
Mm-hmm. Really? Don't you remember The Wedding Singer when she's like, oh, yeah, I'll just go get some records to play on the CD player? And he's like, no, Jules, it's a CD player. It plays CDs.
Damn, dude. CDs in 1982? Really?
I was born in 1981.
Yeah, so. They were like hundreds of dollars for a CD player.
Wow. I mean, when I was a little kid, and I grew up in the 70s like as a little kid, so I know just everybody digests that. I know it's hard to believe because when you hear me and you see me, you're like, this guy's 25 years old. He's ripped. I mean, he's good looking. I mean,
obviously,
come on.
Girls are touching his butt at, you know,
concert
music festivals or whatever. Right. Yes.
So when I was a little kid, 8 tracks.
Sure.
Which turned into LPs, mostly. I mean, there were already LPs.
LPs were out before 8-track.
Yes,
LPs
were
modernized from LPs, yeah.
So I went 8-track into cassette into CD.
Right. I never lived in an 8-track world.
No,
not
huh?
once. I got a CD player for Christmas on my 10th birthday, and my sister, who's 10 years older than I am, she was furious because she hadn't gotten one until she went to college, because she didn't really need one until she went to college, but I got one for my 10th birthday. My first CD was Guy, The Future. You ever heard that song, Less Chill?
Ooh,
Less chill, and just settle down. That song's a banger. But anyway.
From Guy?
Guy was the name of the group. Teddy Riley, whose work you might know from Rex and Effects and also just a general all-around super
Rex
producer.
Rex and Effects. And
yes. He was, before that, he was just a regular R&B singer with his group, Guy. Yeah.
Well, CDs. Remember the first time somebody had a CD Walkman and they actually were running with it? Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Like, it's going to skip all over the place.
Sport, the yellow one.
Yeah, I have one friend who actually had like thousands of CDs. He really collected a lot of music. And in the first iteration of an iPod, he played every song of every CD to get it onto the little iPod.
That is psychotic.
Totally.
Why would you do that?
Because back then he thought it was super cool. He's like, look at all these CDs. I'm going to have them on this little iPod.
He probably couldn't have even fit all of them. It's not like their capacity was even that big. Wow.
I don't know, it was crazy.
What an effort. What
Think
an
about
effort.
All that. 8-track to cassette to CD to now we're all digital.
Everything's in your phone. That's all you need.
So, Clinton Yates, let me tell you what I think was the, people call it the creepiest part of this first episode of this Laker doc called Legacy on Hulu. I didn't think it was so creepy. I just thought it was kind of like, it was a little weird, but I was also surprised that if the Lakers produced this doc, that they would even show this kind of stuff. But they were very willing to show you that Dr. Buss, who we all saw the depiction on Winning Time, a total risk taker, a ladies' man, a partier, etc. There's this one point where he starts talking about how all the girls in L.A. either are going to be models or going to be movie stars.
Yeah,
every
I know,
girl.
I know what part you're talking about.
So they all have an 8x10 glossy photo of themselves. And Dr. Buss was collecting any girl he went out with. He asked for a picture, and then he put it in like a photo scrapbook, and he was proudly displaying it. How about her? What do you think of her? How about her? It was a little weird, and I thought very kind of funny for the time.
That struck me. So there's a reference to that in Winning Time where they show that book, but they don't exactly explain what the purpose is. And I think it was pretty easy to pick up from the scenario. But what struck me about that particular part is, number one, you're hearing from actual Dr. Jerry Buss in that situation. It's not reference to anything. He's directing his attention to the interviewer. And it was weird to me because it indicated a level of almost it felt as if he or rather everybody sort of thought this is how business was done. This wasn't like some personal thing necessarily with just Dr. Buss. This was how you got to make it in America, in Los Angeles, depending on what side of that equation you were on. So, like, it wasn't just about him in that scenario for me. It felt overall generally like, oh, man, right. This is how people operated. Casting couches and so forth were definitely a thing. You know what I'm saying? Not that they still aren't in some pockets of the business or whatever. But, like, yeah, it was more indicative to me of the larger societal situation in L.A. then as much as it was anything about the bus.
Yeah, but for as much as you mentioned that there was, you know, back in the old school, there was this morning show, the Today Show. I mean, I know it's still on NBC, but back then, Jane Pauley.
Yeah.
And Tom Brokaw. And Brokaw is saying that he went out and he did this interview with Buss, and Jane Pauley is like disgusted.
She can't deal with it. Yeah.
And offended by how, what, you know, the womanizing that she perceives is going on here. And yet, the daughters, you know, Jeannie included, they were like, yeah, it's just kind of the way it was.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's tough though, man. You know what I mean? I'm not to get all into everybody's family business, but I just thought I almost wanted a little more there. That's the way it was is kind of, you know, tricky. And I realize that this is not my family business, but there was part of me that sort of felt like, I wonder how many, I don't want to say enemies, but like, I wonder who he dealt with where that did not fly. You know what I mean? And like what he sort of had to encounter in order to be able to live that kind of lifestyle and still be able to be the owner of the Lakers. Like, I genuinely wonder, what do you think Bill O'Brien thought about this kind of nonsense? Never mind Red Auerbach. You know, these people are not with us anymore to talk about it, but it would have been interesting to see that point of view in terms of how Buss was looked at outside of L.A., but still inside of the league.
I realize not everybody has seen this documentary. It's on Hulu. And
gotta
for those
check it
of
out.
You,
gotta check. If you're a Laker fan, it's worth watching.
Right. And for those of you that are technically challenged like I am, I'm telling you right now, I figured out that I have Hulu. I figured how to get onto Hulu. I figured out how to find this documentary called Legacy, and I watched the entire thing. I guess my moral of the story is, if I can do it, you can do it. Let's all watch it together so we can discuss this thing together. But let me just ask one last thing about this.
Yeah.
You know how Jerry West was all pissed off because he didn't like his depiction in Winning Time?
Sure.
Didn't he pretty much tell you in episode one of this that what we saw, the characterization in Winning Time, was kind of his deal anyway?
Like, I don't think that? I think he was a little bit more honest about who he is. But let's be real, Cap. Winning Time was way over the top for Jerry West. I mean, come on. He's cussing every third word. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem to have any control over his emotions. Like, it is clearly dramatized in a way that I can understand why West would have been upset with, for sure.
I felt like last night when I was watching this, I was like, my goodness. He's just kind of telling you the way he was, which is the way he was portrayed, which is what he was so upset about. And I was just like, I don't know. I felt like he kind of just told you the deal.
I don't know.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't. I mean,
I'm not going to be able to sell you on this to see why. No, can't sell you.
Not selling me on this one, Cappy.
Well, I tried.
Yeah, it's all good.
I tried. Anyway, it's pretty good. It's worth
watching if you're a Laker fan. No doubt.
No doubt. And for everybody that's ripping it going, oh, well, what'd you expect? It's a big Laker documentary. It's all just, you know, PR. I'm like, I didn't feel like it was just PR. I just felt like I was watching kind of the history of the organization through the eyes and words of the kids who were there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some of that, but I'm very interested to see where it goes in later episodes, because this is apparently supposed to get all the way up to Kobe and Shaq, and even LeBron is apparently in this documentary, which was shocking to me because I did not realize they were covering that much ground from a chronological standpoint. So we'll see where it goes.
All right, listen, the big story of the day, LeBron signs the extension with the Lakers. We're going to go deeper into that, number one. Like when I say deep, I mean like a full breakdown, man. Like yeah. Like real sports analysis.
Oh, yeah, is that what you're going to do?
I don't think so.
I'm not.
Probably
yeah.
not. Yeah, okay. Probably not. I don't think so. But the schedule is out as well.
Got
and
one
I'll tell
right
you this.
Here.
I'll tell you this. The Lakers schedule is brutal, dude. Brutal.
Brutal. I like
right.
that.
Right, two words.
It's like Balake and brutal. And brutal.
Right. Yeah. Two words. Brutal. We'll get to it. Coming right back. CY is in for Sedano on Sedano and Cap.